As we're warming up, turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 31. And today is April 19th. Have a notepad ready and a highlighter and your pen, and we're testing the sound. As we're testing the sound, make sure you have your Bibles open to Exodus 31. Okay, let's reiterate a little bit from last week where the Lord spoke unto Moses. See, that's in verse 1 here. Okay, the Spirit unfolded this parable to the chief steward, which is Moses. And the Spirit of the Lord revealed to Moses and gave by name Basileo. Okay, so we highlighted some words here. Okay, highlight the word Basileo, the name Basileo, because the Spirit is saying, I have elected or selected out of this group this particular person, Basileo. But of course, the election wasn't to replace Moses' stewardship. It was to assist in confirming these things. Okay, and he was of the tribe of Judah. Okay, we talked about that. And this was to assist this project, the project of this construction. And we'll be talking about that in verse 7, about the furniture. Okay, this construction here. So what the Spirit is saying, I've called him for the purpose of printing my word in tokens. Okay, Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And he printed his word in tokens, okay, and that has to do with our faith. Okay, this is what Basileo did in this parable. Okay, he was putting Christ in these tokens. Okay, and these tokens were for holiness. These tokens were for faith. Okay, this is the Christ which we preach. The record which God gave to Moses in the open sign, it was to be fulfilled in Jesus Christ, the concealed sign. Okay, so we see here that this was the inscription, okay, that which is the revelation of the pattern which the steward, being Moses, received, okay, passed on to Basileo, okay, which was, you see, transcribing. He was putting the revelation, okay, in a construction for the purpose of being observed and reciprocated with. The Spirit revealed this to Moses, and he said, I'm going to give to Basileo these things. And we'll be talking about this more in Colossians. I have filled him with the Spirit of God. Okay, so the angel, the signature, will assist him in these skills that will supersede even a natural pattern. This is what grace does for faith. Okay, grace supersedes the logic of man. It sets us in a new frame of thinking, the reason of faith. Okay, and by this new frame of thinking, okay, we do service to the kingdom of God. So I filled him with the Spirit of God, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. So highlight those three things there, which we spoke about last week. Okay, because this is going to give direction, and the Spirit gives direction and wisdom. And understanding also sets order. He sets the order in this manner of knowledge. Okay, he sets order in this manner of knowledge, which was then put into a construction. Okay, invisible tokens. Okay, these visible tokens are to preach Christ. Okay, that which is concealed will be revealed. That which is concealed will be revealed. This is all manner of workmanship. So here we can see that the Spirit of the Lord was giving the blueprints to Moses, and here Basileo was now transcribing them. And that is to devise the cunning works. We see this in verse 4. This is what God is doing today. Okay, the construction of the kingdom of God is being revealed by the Spirit is for the purpose of setting an order to the church. Okay, so that every letter makes the word. Every letter makes the word. When all the letters come together, it makes the word. Okay, and that word is Jesus Christ. Now this is devised cunning works here in verse 4. We highlight the word cunning works. We see this. Okay, in the Spirit, we're preaching Christ. And this is what the Spirit is saying. For he will see me to construct this mystery of the divine pattern. Okay, so here, the Spirit of the Lord is saying to Moses that Basileo will behold Christ as he constructs these things. He will see me. This is the divine pattern. And we can see it was put with these elements of gold and silver and in brass. So these elements will reflect my power for your remission. This is what the Spirit is saying. These elements reflect my power for your remission. We have remission of sins through Jesus Christ. Okay, though they be of the soil, because Jesus will come in the form of man. but he would be born of a virgin. Okay, he would be taken from a pure house and set within a new vessel in order to complete this redemption, being nailed to the cross. So, though they be of the soil, the gold, the silver, and the brass, as Christ will come in the form of the flesh. Okay, for I will come in the form of flesh to redeem your soul. So we see these things in the precious stones. See in verse 5? So I highlight the word stones there. Okay, these will be stones, and the stones will be set. Okay, and they'll be set in carving of timber to work all manner of workmanship. Because the precious stone will be nailed to the cross. For Jesus is saying here, I will be nailed to the cross. I'm that stone of stumbling and rock of offense. I, as a stone, will be nailed to the cross as timber. Okay, this is timber. So I will be nailed to the cross, which is timber, okay, to put my image in your heart. This is the carving of the name. I will carve my name in your heart. So here, Basilio is prophesying in this manner of construction, the cutting of stones, that these cunning works, this is the work of the Spirit. It's very cunning. Okay, concealed from the carnal eye, it's cunning. Okay, but it's understood by those of faith. So we're reading Christ, okay, in this construction here. So if we're reading Jesus Christ in this construction, then this is what we prophesy in our charity. Look at verse 6 here. And I, behold, I have given with him to assist him Aholiab, the son of Ahishamach of the tribe of Dan, okay, and others, which he put his spirit in. These are the brethren, and the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, being those of faith, will read my word and direct their steps, according as the steward oversees them. So here we see, I put in their hearts, in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted. Okay, those which are faith are called the wise-hearted. I have put my wisdom, because we direct our affections in those things which are above. As Paul writes about in Colossians 3:1, if you then be risen with Christ, your affection in things which are above. So we embrace the invisible things, that which is concealed, that which is the cunning works. Okay, that which is concealed is revealed through the knowledge which we speak. So Christ will be beheld by those of faith, but not by those of the flesh. And this is what Jesus told his apostles. Remember, his apostles asked him that question. How is it that you manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Because I'm going to inscribe my word in your heart by the cunningness of my spirit. And this is what you will prophesy, which only those which have circumcised ears will hear. Those which hear the words which you speak are those which I have separated from the world for myself. So here God was going to put within our hearts wisdom. And this will direct their steps. Their steps will be directed in accordance to the stewardship. I will put my wisdom that they may make all that I command you. That's the steward. All that I command you. And he's talking to Moses here. In verse 7, we talked about all these tokens. So let's highlight all these things here. In verse 7, the tabernacle. So all these tokens, okay, bear an inscription in them. A testimony is put in all of them. So these are the acts of the Lord. We rejoice in the testimonies of the Lord. These are the acts. See, these acts are put in tokens. These tokens is what we reciprocate. In other words, we return to the Lord by the token we receive. We return to the Lord by the token which we receive. Now that token we have received is the engrafting of the Holy Ghost by which we speak in tongues. Okay, by which we speak in tongues. For the Spirit makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. This is the power, this is the covenant which we return to God with. And we approach him in his courts by his tokens. So we see the tokens here, the tabernacle, the ark, the mercy seat. So highlight all these, verse 7, verse 8, 9, 10, 11. The tabernacle, the ark, the mercy seat, the furniture of the tabernacle, the table, the pure candlestick, the altar of incense, the altar, the laver of his foot, the cloths, the holy garments for Aaron the high priest, and the garments for the brethren. His sons, to minister in the priest's office. We also talked about the five elements in the anointing oil and the four elements of the sweet incense. 5 and 4 equal 9, which has to do with the fruits of the Spirit. So we are called the planting of the Lord, trees of righteousness. We're trees of righteousness by the anointing. We are plants of righteousness because we have been removed came from that which is wild by nature and planted in the garden of the Lord, as the Song of Solomon writes about. Okay, we are in the, we are as plants in the garden of herbs, okay, as the Song of Solomon brings out. The Lord is in his garden. That means being plants of righteousness, being planted of him, he walks among us. Okay, he walks among us. And we begin at verse 12 right here. Okay, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, which means, again, the Spirit unfolded this parable to the chief steward. Okay, and when the Lord spoke by Moses, Moses was the voice of the Lord. That's to be my voice to the brethren. Moses was the voice of God to the brethren. Okay, the voice of the Lord is in the stewardship. Okay, as the voice of the Lord is in the lips of all the righteous, which speak charity. So here the voice of the Lord, being in Moses, being the chief steward, he spoke unto them. So this is what the Lord said, speak you also unto the children of Israel, that's the brethren, saying, verily, so I like the word verily. Remember Jesus used that term a lot, verily, verily, I say unto you. So the Spirit of the Lord, speaking through Moses, used that same verbiage, if you will, which means he's saying, you must and you shall observe a token day. You must and you will observe a token day. And what is that token day? It's called the Sabbath. So we see this in verse 13. Speak you also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily, my Sabbath you shall keep. So you must and you shall observe a token day. Because this token day is a parable. This token day is a parable. I wrote a parable in the day. And the Eternal One will come into this dimension of time to give you your rest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. The Sabbath man will enter into this dimension, and I will affirm this as I freeze time. God froze time to show that the Eternal One came into this dimension. God froze time. So verily my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign. So I like the word sign. We'll be talking about that again, verse 17. It is a sign that you must observe, and you shall observe my Sabbath man, my Messiah. Verily my Sabbath you shall keep, and the Sabbath man shall be spoken against. For it is a sign between me and you. It says it right there. The sign of blessing I will give in my mediator, Jesus Christ. Okay, the sign which I will give will be my mediator, and he will be called the Sabbath man. It is a sign between me and you. Me and you, highlight the word me and you, a mediator. It will be throughout your generations, and he will be your eternal rest for my changes of time. Remember, change, God put change in the dimension of time. The changeless one, which the Lord swore by himself, I am the Lord, I change not. The Lord swore by himself that I will come in this dimension of change. I will bridge the time in myself, and I will change the weeks from Moses to myself. Okay, from that which is of the open to that which is the concealed. My kingdom is invisible. My kingdom will stand among you. I am the Sabbath man. Okay, I am the unchangeable one, and I'm put within this frame of time of change, so that I will bring you into the time of the unchangeable one, myself. I am the Lord, I change not. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. Okay, I will be your eternal rest from all changes of time. So here we can see the Lord is saying, I will be your Sabbath. When I come to fulfill this parable token of time, okay, that will separate you from all people and idols of ignorance. And throughout your generations, that you may know. See the word know there, highlight the word know, because this knowledge is going to separate you from other people. It's going to separate you from the activity of vanity and vexation into the activity of rest. Okay? We labor with the knowledge of God in charity for our labor of rest. We labor to enter into his rest. We enter Jesus' rest. We labor in eternal things to rest from the aspirations which vexed the soul. It be throughout your generations that you may know the sign token. And this is what Jesus, the same language Jesus spoke, that they may know you, the true God and Jesus Christ whom you sent. That I am the Lord that does sanctify you. I highlight the word sanctify because we're observing here a parable token that will separate you from all other people. And this is what the Lord said. Now you shall keep my Sabbath. See that verse 14? You shall keep my Sabbath. Now the knowledge which I'm sharing with you, you also can use within your sacrifices at the conclusion of today's lesson. So you shall keep the Sabbath. You must embrace this parable that I will fulfill. So you shall keep the Sabbath. Now the children of Israel did not keep and embrace the Sabbath day. They did not keep the parable. And not keeping the parable, they fell into derision and were separated and taken captive to Babylon. The church today has been taken captive to Babylon. The false religious system was taken captive to Babylon. Okay, that's the Babylon that the Lord is saying to the church today. Come out from among them and be separate. Okay, he said that to Israel. He says that to the church. The church is following a parallel pattern of Israel called Jeremiah's curve. There was a time of renewal and restoration through David and Solomon. Okay, then it went into a trough of darkness to be restored again to Hezekiah in Isaiah's time, only to that was the crowning work and renewing of the covenant and Sabbath, and fell again to derision at the trough and being taken captive to Babylon. And then scattered throughout the whole world, a curse which God put upon the tabernacle or the temple, and he says, I will scatter you among the nations. And now 2,000 years later, they're being gathered together according to the word of the Lord. Okay, that means the gathering together is not for the purpose of approval, but the purpose of fulfillment. So don't be confused about that. The children of Israel are now being gathered from all nations where they were scattered abroad, not because of approval of sanctification, but because of fulfillment of his word. That's all. The fulfillment of his word. And of course, this sign which God put upon them, also will be greatly judged when the Antichrist emerges. The Antichrist is the crown of derision upon Israel for their wandering away from the covenant and from their slaughter of the Messiah because they rejected their Messiah. This was prophesied to them, and that Jerusalem will be a burden and a curse among all nations. And those that observe it and those that confirm it are also accursed, as we see all nations of the world today. All nations of the world that have embraced that law and honor those things despise the Messiah. When they despise the Messiah, they're trodding underfoot the blood of the Son of God. Okay, they're trodding underfoot, which means that which the Pharisees, or the those of that law, the high priests of that law, walked upon. The high priest walked on the blood of the animal. And those that deny the Son of God are walking upon his blood as that of a common animal. They have despised the blood of the covenant of Christ. So we go back here. The Sabbath you shall observe. 6 days, he says here. Let's go to verse 14. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore. It is holy. So I like the word holy there. For it is holy unto you, for it is me to give you eyes to see me. It is holy. It is me that I'm going to give you eyes to see me. Okay, Peter saw the Sabbath man, and the Lord reciprocated. He was refreshed. For it is holy unto you. Everyone that defiles it, highlight the word defile, all the protesters will abominate the parable. And so the breach will shall rule the conscience, and in this void, Satan's shadow will seat his shame. And we see this in Israel, and we see this in the church. The protester will labor with the imagination to conceal his nakedness and depart from me. So let's read that. He shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, it is holy unto you. Everyone that defiles it, highlight the word defiles it, shall surely be put to death. So highlight the word death there. Remember, the death is the breach which takes place within the soul, because the conscience being defiled pushed the breach in the soul. Okay, and death, which is the shadow of Satan, is a result of his sowing. That's false knowledge. These are the weeds, or the plants which my Heavenly Father did not plant. Remember, Jesus said that. Every plant which my Heavenly Father has not planted should be plucked up. These Pharisees and these Sadducees are protesters to the covenant. These men do not have faith. These are the plants of unrighteousness. They bear no sweet fruit. They bear bitter fruit. Okay, they are as poison berries, and the people that eat of them are defiled. They shall die by its knowledge. They shall die by its poison. For whosoever does any work therein, the protester, that labors, but with the wrong tokens, right, that works therein, that soul should be cut off. So I hate the word soul and cut off. okay, soul and cut off. The sources of life will be denied the soul that protests my Sabbath man. Okay, and those that protest the covenant of Jesus Christ have been cut off. They have no longer access to that grace that gives life. And so they're walking in the imagination of their heart. And we see the Apostle Paul wrote about the same thing. They have a knowledge of God, but not according to truth. And we see that in the book of Romans. They have a knowledge of God, but not according to truth. And with the defiled conscience, a conscience not being purged, okay, will fall into the snares of this derision, and they will oppose the Sabbath man. We possess the Sabbath man. Christ dwells within us. We possess the Sabbath man. Being free from the law, we're free from the curse. So we're called the children of mercy, the children of his rest. So he, whosoever does any work therein, that soul should be cut off among his people, his nakedness. Because he's naked, he'll depart from me and hide among the trees, as Adam. Now 6 days, on the sixth day Adam was created. 6 days may work be done, okay, because that is to serve my plan, okay, and made man to confirm it. I made man to confirm these things. Yeah, I made man to confirm these things. And Jesus said the same thing. Man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath for man. He's saying, I put this sign here for him to serve me, so that he will behold me. So 6 days may work be done. But in the seventh, which means I will come to put his works in eternal things, the seventh day, and we see this also in the fulfillment of the millennial reign of Christ, okay, a whole different environment, okay, will be created during the time of the ninth week, or the seventh day, the ninth week of Enoch. The whole earth will be constructed completely different than what we're experiencing today. It will be definitely a sign and a wonder, okay, when we behold this transformation. Okay, the transformation is to reflect the, our conscience. Okay, so it will be perfect, and no unrighteousness will be in it. Okay, so he's going to create a new heavens and earth wherein dwells righteousness. So in the seventh, okay, is a Sabbath of rest. Right, the word again, Sabbath of rest. So the Lord is saying here, by the Spirit, I will come to put his works, Adam's works, in eternal things to remove the curse. Okay, the curse which I put upon his flesh to labor by the sweat of his brow. So that which is of the first covenant, okay, the linen which the high priest was to wear was for the purpose of will not induce the sweat of labor, which shows the work of the Spirit, the Sabbath man. So he should be holy to the Lord, which means by these things he will separate himself from the world to myself by my tokens, which we read about. What tokens? The tabernacle, the ark, the mercy seat, all the furniture, the table, the pure candlestick, the altar of incense, the altar, laver of his foot, the clothes called the holy garments, which don't induce sweat, okay, the garments of the sons to minister priest's office, and the anointing oil and sweet incense. These are holy. Okay, by these tokens they shall serve me. And by these tokens, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So if we don't possess these tokens, he is not our God, and we are not his people. So he says 6 days here. Now let's look at verse 16. Wherefore, that means those of faith will understand these things. Wherefore the children of Israel, being the brethren, shall keep the Sabbath, this parable time, to observe the Sabbath, that's to prepare them for my calling. They shall keep and observe. So when I come, they will immediately open their arms and embrace me. But they didn't. When Jesus came among them, the Pharisees crossed their arms and they turned their heads and he says, I'm not going to listen. They crossed their arms and turned their back and raised their nose. And of course, the prophet talked about that. That they didn't turn to me the face, they turned to me the back. Okay? Which means, I deny them. Okay? I will deny your Sabbath man. Okay? And God says, you deny my Sabbath man and I will deny you. So wherefore the children of Israel should keep the Sabbath. Keep, that's the parable this time, to observe, to prepare them for my coming. Observe the Sabbath. Therefore, their generations, throughout their generations, for a perpetual covenant. Wow. So I had the word covenant there. Perpetual covenant. I will fulfill it in myself. They shall enter into my rest. But yet there is a rest of the people of God. Okay, our rest will be completed in the Father's bosom. But right now we labor with these tokens. We labor with these tokens, which has to do with the fullness of him, so that we can enter into the fullness of him. If we don't partake of the fullness of him now, we enter not in the fullness of him later. So it is a sign, verse 17. It is a sign, which means this sign is a token of identification, like your driver's license. Your driver's license is a token of identification. Okay, this token of identification is to grant you permission and the privilege to use the road. And so the sign token of the Sabbath man is a token privilege to enter into his house. We have the privilege to enter into it, which it will be denied to those that don't carry this ID. Okay, the blessing. So hide the word sign and put the word blessing over that. Okay, we'll be talking about that when we go to book Colossians. Blessing. Paul talks the same thing to in the book of Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Look how many times he words the word blessing. Okay, about three times he used it in just that one verse right there. Identified the blessing where? In Christ. Whom? Well, this is the sign. This is the sign of the one which we embrace for our salvation, Jesus Christ. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel. It's a sign between me and you. It's a point of identification, a blessing of identification. This sign of Sabbath is perpetual, for a perpetual covenant, which I will fulfill when I come in the form of flesh to redeem you from the curse. Blessing of identification that bears my likeness, an image of me in your faith. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. Now, those which are unconverted in the new covenant, okay, reading these things of that first covenant, the old covenant, say, see, the Bible says it's forever. So therefore, we must observe Moses. No, Moses was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Okay, and this is what John the Baptist said. Okay, I come indeed to baptize you with water, but he that comes after me, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Okay, now of his fullness have all received, and grace upon grace. For law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. John the Baptist made a distinction there, and the Apostle John also wrote that distinction down for us today. Which baptism do we observe, and which sign do we embrace? Okay, well, we observe that which is of Christ. Okay, the Sabbath man. Okay, and the sign is that fire, the baptism of this knowledge which we have received for our cleansing. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, which means that which is put when their portion of time will be carried forth and fulfilled in the eternal one, who will come into this dimension. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. I might want to highlight that, which means I created this dimension of time for you to return to me, because I inscribed this parable in all things, okay, and use this number, the number of seven, the seventh day, to mark my new power and eternal reign. So in 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth. I inscribe my name in everything. That's why we see that in all creation, we stand in wonder and bewilderment, okay, at the power, okay, of Christ, okay, which created all these things, the depths of the universe, the unfathomableness of his creation, okay, from the great red giants, okay, great red giants, they called stars. A star which is larger than our solar system, they call it, the solar system, a giant star. This star is so huge that you could put the sun in it, you can put the sun in it, all the planets in it, okay, and still have lots of room. Okay? So we see that the name of Christ is inscribed in all these things, from the great red giant star to the minuteness, okay, of the atom. The atom which has seven shells, or seven shells in an atom. Isn't that incredible? There's seven heavens which we by which we observe our Lord, and seven shells or electrons, and that which is a shell of an atom. Okay, that's really amazing. It doesn't go beyond that. The seven, see? That has to do with the marking of the time. God carried that testimony from greatness even to minuteness. All right, and that which is visible to the invisible and to our soul, where our soul has seven powers. Seven powers act upon our soul to carry forth the duties and the design of our own body. So here, he says, in heaven and earth, this parable in all things, and the number that assigned to it, the seventh day, that's which I rested. He rested on the seventh day and was refreshed. So hide the word rested and refreshed. So he says here, when I see this in your faith, I rejoice, as you shall find my rest and be strengthened. Rest and refreshed. Rest and refreshed. So by praying in the Spirit, by praying in tongues, we enter into rest, because we're ceasing from the logic of our own thinking, laboring with something that's beyond, okay, our comprehension. Okay, so we see how the Spirit works with our spirit. Okay, as Paul writes about in Romans there, his spirit also works with our spirit. Okay, it speaks things which are beyond our understanding. For we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for the saints according to what? The power of God, according to Him, according to this refreshing. We rest and strengthen. Now verse 18, we'll finish this up here. Now God issued this unto the steward. So, and God gave to Moses, God gave to Moses when he had made an end of communing, and this is what he does with us, with this knowledge with him, upon Mount Sinai, which is the place of good tidings. The place of good tidings. Okay, Enoch also had revelation upon the mount. Okay, on the mount at that time is called Mount Sion, S-I-O-N. Okay, whereas he received the revelations. The Apostle John also was on the mount where he received the revelation, the book of Revelation there. Okay, as also Abraham was taken to the mount, he saw the tidings. Moses was taken to the mount, he saw the tidings. Okay, he saw these tidings from the top of the mount. Okay, Mount Sinai, your place of good tidings. Two tables of testimony. The two tables of testimony also represents, okay, the transition would take place, the two covenants, the two general covenants. Two tables of testimony, which Christ will fulfill. Tables of stone, which he will be a stone of stumbling and rock of offense. The man and the method, written with the finger of God, as Jesus also wrote on the floor of the temple. Now Jesus, when he wrote on the floor of the temple, we see this in John 8, okay, what he wrote and inscribed on stone and the dust of the temple was a conviction of the defiled conscience of those which wanted to stone the woman taken in adultery. What Jesus wrote down on that stone floor, okay, was a reflection of that. We hear two tables of stone. Okay? Well, let's start our lessons today. Now let's jump over to the book of Colossians. Let's continue reading there. So for those which are joining us, today is April 19th. And we're continuing on. We just had a warm-up there in Exodus chapter 31. And we're now going to go into our lesson today in Colossians chapter 1. We're going to pick up where we left off there. And we're going to read up here. Let's look at verse 9. Because we're supposed to start in verse 10, but let's read up into that. All right, and Apostle Paul says right here, well, let's start in verse 8. Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Okay, we see the love also. The love in the Spirit, okay, of those which labored with that revelation, as Basilio did. Okay, Moses showed his love toward God by laboring with what was revealed to him as Abraham our father. So here he says, Epaphras declared unto us, he reported to the elders when he came here, he heard in the assembly of those of Colossae, okay, their charity, that the knowledge which they were expressing was very sound and wholesome. So that which they spoke by the anointing brought healing to the soul. Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Verse 8. Verse 9. For this cause, now we can profess further with you. We can progress. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. That is, for your obedience to grace. We have confidence that our efforts will not be futile, but rather be fruitful. As you stand in our supplications, what we prayed for, you take confidence and you stand in, as we also stand in your prayers. Okay, I stand in your prayers and supplications in regarding the will of God, as you also stand in my prayers for you concerning the will of God, so that we are communing at one table. Okay, the false religious system doesn't understand that. The leadership of the false religious system continually follows the envisionization of their imagination, which the congregation, not understanding, how can they stand in it? They can't. They can't stand in it because that's not the will of God. Okay? And because they can't stand in it, being not the will of God, they're not fruitful. Okay? There is no fruit that is birthed within them. So they are the rejected plants, unfruitful trees. They'll be cut down and burned and plucked up and removed. Okay, so he says here, do not cease to pray for you and to desire this fruitfulness. Desire that you might be filled. Now get ready to do some more highlighting here. Be filled with the knowledge. I like the word knowledge. Wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now this is exactly what Paul was expounding on, what was inscribed in Basilio. Okay, we can go right back to that. We see that in Exodus chapter 31. And we see this in 31 verse 3. I'm just going to read it to you because we just expounded on that. He said to Moses, I have called by name Bezaleel, and I filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, and all manner of workmanship and cutting work. Okay, now let's go back to Colossians. That you might be filled with knowledge, wisdom, and spiritual understanding. What for? What do you need this for? If you're a do-nothing believer, which means you're not in covenant, you're an unconverted believer, then this right here, okay, is meaningless for you. But if you're a covenant believer, now you can understand, okay, us concerning, now just put this two together here. You see what Bezaleel need to contribute to the tabernacle for faith. Now you can see why Paul prayed for their increase, so that you can contribute to the tabernacle. That what you contribute to the tabernacle is what you're eating. Okay, what you offer upon the altar is what you're dining on. So the more you sow, the more you grow. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Okay, so the anointing on Bezaleel here for wisdom and knowledge and understanding was to confirming the revelation Moses received. So we see all the facets, all the facts and facets of God here. Okay, we see all the facts and facets of God. Okay, the many different sides of this parable are being made manifest. That's the purpose of the stewardship, to make known this mystery, so that you can contribute, intelligently contribute. You can't contribute to the house of God in ignorance. Those in a false religious system, because the anointing is absent, they're still digging wells to look for water. And they even profess to do that. They even say that. They're still out digging the wells. They're looking for water. Okay, but here we can see that everything's been constructed for your activity now, for your present time. See? And when you read Facebook and you read people's comments that are saying that they're looking for the will of God, number one. Number two, they're expecting great revival. Okay? Number three, they're awaiting a great work. Number four, they're awaiting and looking for this paradigm shift. They're admitting to the fact that they're not in covenant with God. They don't even realize it. They're admitting to that fact that they are wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, naked. They're without a priesthood. We see that in the book of Revelation. And the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. Okay, that's why the angel Lord was pinning these things through the apostle John for the purpose of correcting them. Okay, that at their present state, they're wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, naked. And what did God say? I'm going to spit your meat out. I don't accept your sacrifices. Okay, the meat of the altar which they offer is lukewarm. Because you're neither hot nor cold, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Okay, but I stand at the door and knock, which means the door of your conscience. I'm calling to the door of your conscience. Will you walk by faith? Will you use my tokens? Will you build my house? Okay, now he that overcomes, what are you overcoming? You're overcoming the delusion that you think you're working for me. The delusion is that you believe you're working for me, but you're not in reality. We see this in the false religious system today. Okay, that all the clamoring, the renting, ranting, raving, shouting, rolling, laughing, is for nothing. The Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, is not in any of those things. Okay, we work with the Spirit in silence, okay, not with the shouting of the fool. So we see knowledge, wisdom, and understanding right here, knowing His will. So I like the word will there in verse 9. That's covenant faith. Okay, so being filled with the knowledge of His will, that means they have been previously instructed. They're no longer out looking for water. They're drinking it. Okay, they're not digging wells. They have it. Okay, they're no longer wondering what the will of God is because they're doing it. They might be filled with all knowledge and knowledge of His will and all wisdom, giving direction. So the volume of the power of Christ for this effect to be properly directed in all wisdom, and to take the proper order, that's the spiritual understanding, in maturing in spiritual things. So he called it spiritual understanding. You're maturing in spiritual things. So that's spiritual understanding. God is setting order in your heart. Because you believe this testimony, God is setting order in your heart. In verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord. So I like the word worthy there. Now, because you understand these things, you're competent in the prophetic path. You're competent now. We hear or read there in Facebook again those which are trying to say, how can you say you're perfect, or how can you say you're worthy? Because Christ made me perfect. I am perfect in faith. Christ made me worthy because I am embracing that power. The power is in the covenant. Christ Jesus is the covenant of our priesthood. That you might walk worthy of the Lord. That means be empowered by the things of the Spirit, which of course meets his expectation. So hide the word unto all pleasing. So pick up your highlighter there and highlight the word all pleasing. You're meeting his expectation, okay, through this form of communion. Okay, this is your refreshing. This is your rest. This is your hope. Okay, because this is going to carry you into the reality of this promise, okay, the eternal inheritance, our Father's bosom. So that you might walk. So I had the word walk there, which has to do with the prophetic path. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Well, how can that be possible? Being fruitful. You highlight the word fruitful there. You're not stagnating. Okay, you're not drying or dying on the vine. Your grape isn't turning into a raisin there. But rather, you're being full of the Spirit. You are succulent. The Lord will take and squeeze you into his cup. He will drink of your charity. Okay, he will drink of your charity, just like Pharaoh. Okay, when the butler gave the Pharaoh, okay, fresh grapes, the butler would squeeze the fresh grapes into the cup of Pharaoh. Okay, and give it to Pharaoh. Okay, that shows the succulent fruit of this knowledge as a charity which our Lord drinks deeply in. He drinks the whole cup. That's what Jesus told his apostles, drink ye all of it. This is the knowledge of my covenant which I'm squeezing for you. Drink it, Peter. Drink it, Barnabas. As well as Andrew and James, he says, drink all of it. So I'm squeezing this in a cup. I am your God. I'm squeezing this in a cup. This is my covenant. Okay, I'm crushing the grape to release the power. Okay, and by my smiting, which I'm going to take in my flesh, I'm going to release my power in your soul. Okay, when I release my power in your soul, okay, you shall suffer the loss of the aspiration. Okay, in other words, you're gonna lose sight of the aspiration and gain insight into my glory. Okay, by the smiting. So that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Cite the word good work, that which is attending to things which are faith, laboring my altar in faith. The good work is that which is faith. Not the work of the moral code. He's not talking about the good work of the moral code. Okay, because sinners can do good in the moral code. They can do good in the moral code by not stealing from their neighbor. They can do good in the moral code by not murdering their neighbor. Okay, they can do good in the moral code by not stealing someone's sheep, okay, or coveting. Okay, that's just the moral code. Okay, but here he says goodwill or good work, which has to do with that which is of faith, that we do not trespass against our Lord nor transgress his word. That we do not go beyond the boundaries of the terms of this covenant, nor change its history. You don't want to transgress against God. Change the history from the bosom, okay, of the Spirit, of the heart of the Father, to that which is of the soil. You do that, your doctrines will follow suit of the aspiration, okay, that which is death unto death. So here we're supposed to be increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, gaining this more awareness, okay, we have also realization. Okay, we also gain a different perception. We also gain a greater appreciation for the things of the Spirit. Those in a false religious system do not have, okay, a healthy appreciation for the things of the Spirit. If they did, they would not deny the government of God. Okay, they would not deny the government of God. So the only thing that they are joyously pursuing is that which would give confirmation to themselves. So they're laboring hard for the healing ministry, as they call it. They're working hard for the miracles. They want the loud clamoring. They want the world to rush to see how powerful their Jesus is. But God is not in the whirlwind. God is not in the clashing of the rocks of the mountains. He's not in the quaking of the earth. He's in the still small voice. The voice of the knowledge of this grace is what we're living by, see? Okay, and the false religious system wants the shouting and the blowing of the trumpets. Okay, but we, those which are of the covenant faith, are humbling ourselves to this knowledge, to labor in the silence of the Spirit. And the Lord will perform the tasking of the miracles. He will do that which he desires at the time he desires it, the healing and the miracles, but not for the loud clanging, clamoring of the world. We don't have to leap on the altar to get their attention. Okay, the prophets of Baal leap upon the altar for the purpose of gaining the people's attention. Okay, but what did Elijah do? Silently worked over there. And every once in a while, as he silently worked, he would look over there and he'd see all this clamor, loud shouting of the... Okay, that was a false revival going on over there. The false revival was on the altar of Baal. The true revival is right here. Okay, the stewardship of Elijah. And here he was laboring in silence. And he would glance over there and says, well... you need to shout louder. In other words, okay, the pretense of promise. The pretense of promise. Perhaps you need to shout louder. Perhaps he's on a journey and he doesn't hear you. Or perhaps he's busy doing something. Okay, so therefore, by pretense of promise, your God, Baal, desires you of more things to get something, of, you could say, a taste of his presence. But me, I'm just one man, he says. I'm going to labor over here. Okay, this is what God wants. The silent labor of faith. The silent labor of your faith. But here he says in verse 11, strengthened with all might. So I like the word strengthened there. This knowledge of God will strengthen us because by this knowledge we are going through a form of transition. Okay? Transition, a transformation. So strengthened with all might. The tokens of that first covenant were the strength of their might. They embraced those things for their faith to be accepted of God. And by that acceptance, when God beheld their faith, he beheld Christ. When he beheld Christ, they were now the vessels of mercy. Though the conscience was defiled, God says, I see Christ in your faith, and therefore I will grant you your petition. I will grant you your deliverance. I will grant you your refuge. But if you turn aside to other tokens that I have not sanctified, which I don't behold Christ, I will only see the face of Satan, and that offends me. And what I do to Satan? I cast him out of heaven. I cast him out from the height of blessing, the height of light, the height of rejoicing, the height of my rest. I cast him out to labor in vain things. And so Satan now takes pleasure in vain things. What does he like to do? He likes to vex you. He takes delight in vexing because his soul is vexed. The vexed soul delights to vex. Okay? But the soul that embraces the rest shares with others in that same rest. Strengthened with all might. Strengthened, this is a sign and blessing which God put upon Abraham, which we are the children of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ, that we also might receive the promises of Spirit. The Gentiles might receive the promises of Spirit. We see that in written in Galatians chapter 3. The Colossians are Gentiles. The Colossians have now received the blessing of that promise. Okay, the sign. Okay, the sign of this blessing abides upon all the children of promise, all those which are of faith. We're strengthened with all might. The sign and the blessing. I like the word strengthened, which means that which is being assisting us and sustaining us. Strengthened. The Spirit assists us, doesn't it? It's called the Comforter. It's called the Comforter because it is assisting us. It's assisting us to a form of transition from darkness to light and from that which is of the aspiration to that which is of the covenant substance which your faith gives you. Because faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's the invisible presence of God abiding in your profession. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, which is our Christ. The evidence of things not seen. It's a sign that abides upon the brow of the righteous, because we put the crown of truth upon our heads. This is our perception of life. That's the mind of Christ. So we're strengthened with all might. This is the assisted ability and to sustain us by God's abundant gifts. This is his might, by God's abundant gifts, strengthened with all might, by God's abundant gifts. These are the gifts of power, which are of his own lightness. These are gifts of his propitiation. Okay, these are the gifts of his propitiation to sustain our faith. Okay, Jesus died on the cross for the purpose of adopting us to himself. Okay, Jesus died on the cross for the purpose of removing the curse so that we be the children of blessing. Okay, though we're still in the form of the flesh, which God cursed, but yet the conscience now been restored because Jesus rose from the dead. When he rose from the dead, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And these gifts we have received, being strengthened with all might. Okay, now the stewardship is setting order for understanding. Setting order for understanding, giving us wisdom. That means he's directing our steps in this prophetic path. So by attending upon these things, we know the true God, the difference between the true God and the idols of this world, the false gods. Okay, the sinner cannot see the distinction between the true God and the false gods. To them, all gold looks the same, just like in the Old Testament. Okay, the golden calf. The golden calf, the same gold that went on the golden calf, okay, was the gold that glittered upon the ark. So to the children of Israel, okay, the glitter looked the same. Well, that glitter of the calf looks just as bright and glittery as that on the ark and the altar there. Okay, but Moses says, yeah, but God's sanctification isn't on that idol, that calf. God's sanctification is on that which he designed. Okay, so even though to the eye, it looks the same, yet to the understanding, which and those of faith, there's a big difference. Okay, just the same thing with the altar of Baal, which Jezebel's prophets constructed, and the altar of Elijah, the stewardship of God. The testimony which God put in that man was to stand as a sign to all ages, how God elects to make known this knowledge of his kingdom to his servants. And God affirms it by fire. Okay, not the fire which man ignites, the false revival. Okay, man ignites the false revival with a shouting, with promises of pretense. Okay, with promises of pretense. Okay, they think that if they sing an hour long and shout louder, that God will hear them and visit them. They even say that. Okay, now let's shout unto the Lord, let's sing louder for the Lord. They think that by this form of long suffering, okay, of their worship service, which is their singing, okay, which is not the true worship, okay, that the Lord will visit them with a healing. That's what they're doing. They're doing this just for to consume upon themselves. That's the way Baal works. The spirit of this world is for self-consumption, while the spirit of God is for the purpose of initiating, giving. Give, and it should be given unto you. That's what the Lord said. He didn't say, take, and more shall be given. He shall give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Okay, this is the pattern of my kingdom is for the purpose of, by expression of my charity, because if you love me, keep my commandments, okay, I will give more gifts to you, so you're strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power. The glorious power, that which bears his likeness, the divine sign. By this divine sign which births and begets, okay, all these other virtues to endure the contradiction of this time frame. Okay, by enduring it, you're retaining a form of development like a caterpillar in its cocoon still, okay, as it turns into a butterfly. We are in a place of development, only to be birthed into something greater. So strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, I like the word power there, unto all patience. You can see that this begets a virtue in you. Your endurance of this time by grace, okay, produces and bursts this likeness within you. This is what your cycles of growth are assigned to you for. Okay, these are assigned to you for the purpose of birthing this constraint. This constraint. Okay, not for the purpose of overthrow. Nor the constraint is not to spoil. The constraint is for protection. The city of refuge are walls of constraint for your protection. Okay, so those that run to the Lord with these tokens will bear these powers for constraint of iniquity. It protects you from iniquity. Okay, unto all patience and long suffering. So I like the word patience and long suffering. These virtues are birthed through your charity. Okay, as you continue to profess Christ. Because this is his testimony. As you continue to profess Christ, these virtues will be born within you. Okay, through each cycle of your growth. This is the covenant I make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest of them. I will not remember their righteousness, and their sins and iniquities I remember no more. All right, when he says, I remember no more, that's because something is being birthed within you. I will remove the stains of Satan, that testimony that he inscribed within you by the knowledge of this world, the evil education. I will remove by inscribing in you these things, the things of my power, the work of regeneration. So by the work of regeneration, your mind will be renewed, which means it will be restored to the proper way, the proper thinking. Okay, the proper thinking. So patience has to do with the endurance of time, and long-suffering has to do with the contradiction you're enduring during that period of time. See, and God is birthing this virtue within us for the performance which we will enter into when we enter into the baptism of light. We enter into our Father's bosom, that we will be as our Father, that we will be long-suffering to all the creatures that are born forth from ourselves. Okay, as our Father is long-suffering with us, we came out from our Father, and we are entered into this dimension through a vessel of flesh. Being in this dimension, we are the lowest of the heavens and the darkest of the heavens. We were created and put into a vessel of great constriction, contradiction. Okay, and it suffers because it needs the needs that it has need to be served all the time. Okay, concerning eating or sleeping. Okay, concerning eating or sleeping. Okay, these are the needs of the body. So the Lord is saying, I want you, what he's saying to us, he says, I want you to continue to attend upon the eternal things to prepare you in my image and likeness to serve with me in my throne. Okay, and this is what Jesus professed to us. He either overcomes or I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. You will enter into the throne, which has to do with the power of the Godhead, for the purpose of expanding my house. That the house which you expand in my name will be greater than the house which you're in presently at this time. Okay? Because right now you're working with great restriction and contradiction, darkness and ignorance. But my knowledge is your light. By my knowledge of this light, your soul can expand and it can be enlarged, even though the body is slowly going through the forms of death. Okay, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. So I have the word joyfulness there. The word joyfulness has to do with that which is we are laboring with an expectation, as Jesus did, that the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So if Jesus is the captain of our salvation, being the captain of our profession, okay, we follow his steps, the prophetic path, of joy. We endure the contradiction for the prize of this glory, giving thanks unto the Father, verse 12, okay, offering himself in our reciprocation. This is our refreshing. Offering himself in our reciprocation and not the vanity of this world. So we're giving thanks to the Father, which has made us meet, competent, qualified our faith, made us meet and competent to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So you might want to highlight the word inheritance there. To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Because those we're competent only as we embrace the tokens of our Father. The true tokens, the eternal tokens, the tokens of fire. Okay, which he bestowed upon us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, for the purpose of our travel and given us a new ID card. Okay, that we are now adopted into his house. We have a new ID card. Okay, the new ID card is the face of our future and not the face of our past. The face of our future, not the face of... Imagine that if you went down to the Department of Motor Vehicles and they took a face of your future. Well, it might not be very complimentary, the face of our future, because our future on the flesh is death. Okay, and every photograph would be a skull, the face of the future. That'd be pretty difficult to ID. May I see your license, please? And you can say to him, why? We all look alike. What do you want to see my picture for? You think it's more flattering than yours? Okay, they say, you have a skull and I have a skull. What's the difference? we all look a little bony. Okay? So he says, well, just let me have your ID. So he look at your ID and says, yeah, that's right. That's a picture of your future here in the flesh. Okay, but God has given us a new ID. Okay, not that of the skeletal, okay, but that of the glory of his light. Giving thanks to the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of an inheritance of saints and light. See, so we have what God, our Father sees a photo of our future, okay, because he beholds Christ within us, which is light unto light. Light unto light. But men love darkness rather than light. Men love darkness. That which is the flesh love the ignorance of this world, as the Apostle John testified there when he wrote his epistle there in John chapter 1. But Jesus is the true light. And this is a light. That light came into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because the deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light. Why? Lest his deeds should be reproved. The aspiration will be checked by my truth. And those which want to follow the religious aspirations will deny my truth. They will want to construct the truth around the aspiration, which has to do with the logic of the text, okay, rather than that, which has to do with the voice of my spirit. The voice of my spirit is what you live by. We live by every word of God, which has to do with the voice of the spirit. Okay, but the carnal-minded live only by the logic of text. God does not anoint the logic of text, but he anoints the voice of his spirit. Okay, and by that voice, okay, we live. Okay, we can see that if you read Psalms chapter 29, it's really great. Because he talks about in Psalms chapter 29, he's talking about our reciprocation is that light. This reciprocation which we give to our Father, okay, is what created the worlds. It is what gives life and breath to everything that exists in this dimension. Give unto the Lord, all you mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. He brings it out. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. Yes, the Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh, which means when the voice of the Lord spoke, it changed the visage, okay, of nature. It turned oceans into deserts and deserts into flowing seas. The voice of the Lord, that's how powerful it is. Now, the voice of the Lord can be so admired in the physical, which flatters the eye and bewilders the heart, how much more that which is inscribed within the heart to take on the image of our Creator, who delivers us from the power of darkness. They highlight the word delivered, because Christ provided himself as our token substance to remove the mental perceptions which ballooned the soul. The balloon of soul. The knowledge of this world is wind, and it balloons the soul. It makes a person feel that they're actually achieving something. Okay, that's the ballooning of the soul. But as the soul is full of air. The soul of the sinner is full of air. So when I mean the element which is inflating that has to do with the aspiration, the imagination. There's no substance to it. And it's going to be popped at death. Okay, when death touches the soul of the sinner, okay, all he's going to do is get a popped balloon. Now, what is good as a popped balloon is good for nothing any longer. You're not going to take the time to try to glue it together again. Anyway, it won't work. The pop balloon. Okay, but Christ gives substance to the soul. So when the Lord visits us, okay, he receives back to himself that which he labored. As Jesus said, unless a corn of wheat is planted in the soil, it abides alone. As long as it remains in the bag, you're not going to have a harvest. But if this corn of wheat dies, which has to do with being planted in the soil, okay, losing now its first form, it now gains a greater form. And the greater form which it gains will be the light to those that reap it. I will harvest souls that bear the design of my labor. Okay, I'm sending forth my word, and it shall not return to me void. That which inscribed within your heart shall return unto me unto glory and to glory. Okay, this is what we rejoice in. Okay, those which rejoice in the Lord rejoice in this process, from glory to glory. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Again, the power of darkness has to do with the perceptions, the mental perceptions of that knowledge which ballooned the soul and vex it. It vex it. Okay. The grieving of the sinner works the sadness of death. But though the righteous grieved, it works life. The sorrow of the world works death. But the sorrow of those which are embracing Christ, okay, works life into life. Okay? Of course, this is brought out and expounded more so when the angel visited Hermas. He explained these things to him concerning the sorrow of the world. Now, the sorrow of the world works death. That's what Paul wrote about. But the sorrow which works repentance works life. Okay, the repentance, which means that which is through the cycles of your growth, continually directs us to, and renews us to return to God. That's repentance. True repentance is a returning, not a wandering. The gospel, the gospel of the uncircumcised preaches a Jesus of wandering that says, yes, accept Jesus in your heart. Well, what does that mean? And well, how do I serve this invisible God? Hey, well, just accept Jesus in your heart. That's all they can tell you. Okay? And that's because their own knowledge is so restricted to the text that they have not experienced the life of God. We preach the knowledge of the life of God, okay, which is a returning to Him upon the gifts we receive. So the apostate sons have returned to Him. Okay? And having been returned to Him, we receive these gifts, which has to do with the image of the invisible God. Let's finish up here to get your sacrifices ready. Was delivered us from the power of darkness and translated. So I like the word translated there. So you get your highlighter there and highlight the word translated. A form of change. A form of change. Okay, the words which you spoke in darkness was blasphemy. The words which you speak in the light is life and light, which is Jesus Christ. So we're being translated from that which is a blasphemy to that which is life-giving. Was delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us in the kingdom of His dear Son. So as our contact point, we're being changed, observing the house rules which Jesus provided and taught us. Okay, we're going from change to change to change to change. Okay, but this is by the power of the Lord. Okay, but God has not left us without strength, for He gives us His peace so that we can go through this form of transition, okay, with the peace of God. Though we be grieved, but for a moment, as Paul writes about in Corinthians there, okay, though at this present time we are burdened, okay, yet this burden which we're under is not that which is a burden of death unto death. Okay, the burden which we bear, okay, has to do with being the yoke of Christ, is for the purpose of removing that which is frustrating grace. The knowledge of God does not frustrate grace. The knowledge of God assists the Spirit. As Paul writes about there in the book of Galatians, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, okay, if you have to begin to seek God, you're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come and come with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today and continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek Him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ehrsick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.